Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church, welcome to Kensington Unitarians, a community created not just by those who walk through our doors, much as we love you all in the here and now, but it's a community also created across time and space by those who listen to our podcasts in lands far and near. It's a delight to think of people in Australia, Canada, Scotland, Yorkshire, Poland, the USA, the south coast of England even. Just some of the places our podcast listeners have been in touch from recently. Now, who knows when you'll be listening to this message, but I hope it finds you well, and I hope it provides some food for thought, as the saying goes. Some of the nourishment of the spirit that we might be seeking, each of us, this day. Our theme this morning asks a question: what is emerging? And in true Unitarian fashion, it won't be providing some ready-made answers, because ours is a spiritual exploration of your own designing. But I think we're people who found value in exploring matters of the spirit, questions of life, in community with others, and that's what brings us here today. And before embarking on any journey, it's wise to check what you really need to bring along with you. It's never a good idea, is it, to burden yourself with unnecessary luggage. So I'm going to read to you, this is the work of Mark Bellatini, and he's listing for us some of the oh-so-human ways that we might be getting weighed down at present. I wonder if any of these ring a bell for you in life as they did for me. Let's set it all down, you and me. The disappointments, little and large. The frustrations. Let's open our fists and drop them. The useless waiting. The obsession with what we cannot have. The pin-wheeling worry which wears us out. The fretting. Let's just throw it down now. The comparison of ourselves with others, the competition, the assumptions, that unspoken, shelved anger. Let's toss them. The inarticulate suspicions, the self-doubt, the self-pity. Let's sink them all like stones, in the pool of this gift of silence. Let's drop them like hot rocks into that cool silence. And when they've gone, well, let's settle back gently and rest. Let's rest on the calm surface of silence. Let's be supported in this still cradle of the world. Newborn, ready for anything. And I'm lighting our chalice this morning in celebration of our worldwide Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist community, a community in which we encourage one another to question and inquire, a community where we hear each other's truths and allow one another to change our minds, to reassess our values, and to seek new connections and ways of being, forged of love and justice. I'd forgotten that the children were on holiday when I was planning this, so really, you're going to have to make a bit of an effort now to help me out, okay. Because I was going to encourage them, and in fact pre-warn them, to have a think about ideas of what the future might hold. I'd been talking about this with my 12-year-old grandson, Zach. And Zach is convinced, as indeed I think Anthony still seems to be, that we'll be zooming in the future, high above the crowded city streets, propelled by individual jetpacks or in flying cars. Now, as a London driver, that thought makes me cringe because I fear what us drivers would get up to if we weren't regulated by traffic lights and roundabouts and queues. The queues slow us down. Yeah, those poor people in Dover, they'd like their jetpacks, wouldn't they? But those of you who don't know, there's a very, very long traffic jam heading to the south coast. And, you know, I might laugh at the unlikely thought of flying cars and people propelled by jetpacks. And then I remember that Google and other companies are already experimenting with driverless cars, and that they apparently have reactions far quicker than any human will ever have. I mean, imagine trying to explain developments like the internet or contactless payments or smartphones or buildings made of glass to previous generations. It really is hard to predict the future, and that's why anyone who dares to make such predictions risks looking a bit foolish. If you want to entertain yourselves later, just get on the internet and look up foolish predictions of the future. There's some lovely ones. There's one from Charlie Chaplin, who managed to misjudge the future of cinema when he described it as merely a fad in 1916. Or what about that Decca Records executive who turned the Beatles down in 1962 after an audition? And he wrote, "Groups are out. Four-piece groups with guitars particularly. They're finished." And dear Marconi, the radio pioneer, said in 1912, I find this one really poignant, "The coming of the radio era will make war impossible because it will make war ridiculous." Or think of the Kaiser speaking to his troops in 1914. "You'll be home before the leaves have fallen from the trees." Now, as a fan of science fiction literature and films, I have always been deeply impressed but that the original Star Trek series had everybody equipped with communicators, very much like our mobile phones of today. I don't know if you... Do we have any Trekkies in... Oh, yeah, there's one or two of us. Oh, good. We're talking about Star Trek and the communicators that go, ooh, which is so very pleasing, isn't it? And if only scientists could sort out transporters to beam us up out of awkward situations whenever we choose, well, wouldn't life be a lot easier? So what about any examples that you have? Do you remember your own thoughts when you were a teenager of what the future might be? Smell-o-vision on television, the idea that we would be able to sense things from a television set and that it would be far more interactive. Yeah.
I like the Jetsons where you had this belt and it would shower you, dress you, fix your hair, put you in your car in the morning with a cup of coffee.
I love this idea. I mean, that has also been developed by Wallace and Gromit, you might have seen, where yes, you are dressed by a machine and plopped down in front of your cereal bowl. Anyone else? Do you remember, Carol?
So if we were in charge of the world, that and make everything good, so there was a work on our part, it would just be part of our heritage.
Yes, the idea that we were in charge of the world, it's our heritage to rule everything, and everything will be okay. Yes, I remember that one. Neville?
I was interested in what you said about your grandson, and he's zooming over the... I don't remember the actual comics, but in the 1930s, in Boyce comic books, there was people zooming over the power access.
No, exactly. Yes, and you were talking about H.G. Wells, weren't you? And
yeah.
Yeah. So the idea of jet propulsion has been around for a long time. Juliet, did you have...
I heard today that they're thinking about, or maybe they've got further than that, delivering takeaway food by drone.
Takeaway food by drone. Well, we could maybe experiment with the church biscuits.
How optimistic about how marvellous the world was going to be.
Yes.
How there was going to be no more wars, no more crime, and you can't imagine people thinking about it.
It's a very interesting phenomenon, that, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot being written about the idea of the late, let me get my dates right, the late 19th century, and that concept of onwards and upwards forever, the idea that technology would help us, we would sort our problems out. And this congregation was very much part of all of that. Yes, Julia.
On the other hand.
Yes.
I lived in trepidation through 1984, and it wasn't half as bad as George Orwell had suggested.
Yes. That we can do the opposite, can't we? We can predict the most awful things and the most wonderful things. I mean, I still remember all the predictions that were made about the millennium, 2000, and how all our computer systems were going to crash and everything would fall from the skies. But we got through it all right, don't we?
Tomorrow's World.
Oh, Tomorrow's World on television, yes, and Raymond Baxter. And so,
James Burke.
James, oh, yeah.
Really scary predictions are about the transhuman, where really all the bits of the human body can be artificially produced, and the result will be a much better functioning human. You can choose every aspect of it, and it's in the making. That is actually coming.
Yes.
So I think we need to be really alert to.
And if only we had some teenagers here, they would tell you about all the wonderful bionic films that exist.
Could we talk about having implants into your brain?
The idea of implants actually affecting our behaviour. Endless possibilities, everybody. Much more we can talk about over coffee later. But what about space tourism? Any predictions for the likelihood of space tourism in our time? Will some people spend an awful lot of money going up into space, going round and coming back down again? I await with interest.
Spoiling another bit of the world.
Leaving litter wherever we go, no doubt. So, you know, my grandparents would have laughed their cotton socks off if I'd been clever enough to predict mobile phones and try and describe them to them. It is really difficult to predict the future. It's difficult, isn't it, to predict the future in our own lives. The question of what is emerging, the title of this service, it really is a great unknown. So I'm going to suggest that we take that idea into a time of prayer and reflection now. And with respect, borrow the American First Peoples term for the divine, the great mystery, the bringing together of all that is, the known and unknown realms of existence. I invite you to focus on that sense of life as one, and ourselves as one element, one glorious individual element that with all else that exists forms that great mystery. Let's rest for a moment in the magnitude of such an image, spinning outwards through the entire universe, the unimaginable vastness of all that exists in time and space, the infinite possibility. And let us then give thanks for human curiosity and exploration that has brought us to the place we are now in. Let's honour all the unknown that lies ahead. Let's be aware of what is emerging, knowing that nothing stays the same, and therefore being open to the possibility of choosing well, of channeling the best that can be for life here on planet Earth. Aware as we are of the pain of our troubled world, but also aware of the transforming nature of love. And I invite you in these few moments to send loving thoughts to places and to people most in need. Maybe places within yourself, your family, your community. Places and people in the news, or those who do not get mentioned because their conflicts seem never ending. And especially this day, let's remember the people of Syria, of southern Sudan, of the Republic of the Congo. In stillness now, I invite you to send your thoughts and prayers. And may those in need be aware of our loving care this day for the greater good of all. Amen.
In this piece of writing called A Treasure House of Wonders, John O'Donoghue describes the creative process where something that is already within us seeks expression, seeks ways in which to emerge, to come into being, into form. We too, he says, are constantly emerging. The life within us calls out for expression. This is what creativity serves. It endeavours to bring out some of our hidden life to expression in order that we might come to see who we are. When we are creative, we help the unknown to become known, the visible to be seen, and the rich darkness within us to become illuminated. No human being is ever actually there, each of us emerging in every moment. When we discover our creativity, we begin to attend to this constant emergence of who we are. Our creativity is excited by what is new, different, and concealed within us. While the outside world has long settled for who we are in terms of name, personality, and role, when we creatively engage our life, we enable the signature, taste, and imprint of our uniqueness to emerge. This is what begins to emerge when we become. This is what begins to emerge when we come to the desk and look into the mirror of the white page. Beneath the white page, in the stillness, a piece called Harvest of Untouched Possibility waits. Every heart is full of creative material. There are depths in hungering towards the light. The deeper we attend to the soul, the more we realize what a treasure house we have inherited.
If we want a simple answer to this question we're exploring today, what is emerging? I think we're probably going to have to choose something like, we just don't have a clue. And I know it's not a particularly satisfying answer, and you might all choose to wander off home right now or go and get a drink of water. You might feel a bit disappointed because our human minds don't like vacuums. We don't like empty spaces with big question marks floating in them. And we don't easily admit that we don't know. If we can't find a certainty to latch on to, well, we'll find a probability. And if probability is in short supply, do you know, we just make things up. We cannot know what the future holds in store for us. And if we could, we'd probably all decide to hide under the duvet from now on and eat ice cream and listen to our favourite music. Anything to shield us from reality. And when it comes to the future, there really is very little that we can predict for sure, apart from our own demise. I think it was Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, who's credited with writing that in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. interesting to know that Benjamin Franklin was in this congregation in 1774 when the first openly Unitarian service was held at the then Essex Street Chapel. 200 people gathered that day in 1774 to hear their minister, Theophilus Lindsay, preach, including four future prime ministers and various government spies keeping an eye on the proceedings. Now, I know we're not quite as at the cutting edge of religious fervour here in 2016, but if there are any spies with us here today, we'd like to invite you warmly to join us after the service for a coffee and a biscuit. So we talked earlier on about just how difficult it is to make accurate predictions about the future. And that's partly because it really does not exist. Probably most of us don't think that there is a preordained path ahead for us as individuals or as a world community. The future seems to me to have infinite possibilities, and the path unfolds as it is lived. Humanity's creativity is a feature of life that's both remarkable and frightening, isn't it? In the space of some 200,000 years, Homo sapiens has achieved so very much. And I wonder what you choose as a great human achievement. I think the area of medicine is a particularly interesting one because we really have made incredible strides forward in our understanding of how these bodies of ours work. We have created diagnostic tools we just would have had as unimaginable a century ago, and we found ways to combat such serious diseases. I mentioned Theophilus Lindsay earlier on, the very first minister of this congregation, and in the late 1700s, he and his wife Hannah, they were at the forefront both of education for everyone, however much money or not you had, and they were at the forefront of smallpox vaccination as a way to prevent an illness that killed so many people at the time. Smallpox, an illness that is currently eradicated worldwide. We could almost say the same for polio and TB, yet the combination of human foolishness in stopping vaccination programs and the cleverness of viruses to mutate and strengthen themselves means that these two illnesses are once again increasing in strength. Will our 21st century world put its resources into eradicating malaria, I wonder? Will our ingenuity be focused on feeding our world population and giving everyone access to clean water? Both well within our powers if we choose to do so. Or will we put our talents to a different use and create some more ways to hurt one another, new weapons to fight wars with, like squabbling siblings unable to share these finite resources that we have in our planet Earth home? And I don't know if this is the same for you, but my predictions of the future are more an indication of my current state of mind than any accurate predictor of what might be emerging. Because what might be emerging has yet to be. It comes from what is, but it is in itself new. There are days when I am absolutely convinced that we're all going to hell in a handcart, as the saying goes. And at other times, I find myself thinking optimistic thoughts about humanity finding new ways of being, new economic models that share resources more fairly, new forms of energy that are clean and cheap, new global connections that help to promote peace and well-being. Let's see what unfolds. You never know. Like a baby bird hatching from an egg, like a caterpillar becoming a chrysalis, becoming a butterfly, transformation stems from the past but is in itself a new thing, a something that was not there before. And we'd then best leave the egg and chrysalis analogies on one side, because they are quite predictable unfoldings. When it comes to anything involving humanity, our adaptability, our ability to respond to the environment in which we find ourselves, it makes us, and indeed the future of life on Earth, much less easy to predict. We really do not and cannot know. And we have, I think, responsibility, meaning an ability to respond to what is. And how we might respond to any particular stimulus is the unknown, for us as individuals and for our species. But from time to time, I think we get glimpses of what might be emerging, and it is this unknown edge that really interests me. And I think we do have an element of choosing, and I put this question on that white hymn sheet today. I think we have the ability to make some choices about what we might like to move towards, what we might like to have emerging in our own life and in the life of our wider world. I've been having conversations recently with fellow ministers and also with some people in our own community about what might be called to emerge in religious communities like ours in the 21st century. There is a movement called Emergent Church, incredibly broad, diverse unfolding of people's yearnings today. And it might be for groups that are smaller or larger, for worship that is louder or quieter, more participatory or more contemplative. Perhaps the best that we can say is that the future is unknown, but we are able at times just to discern possible ways, possible glimpses that call to us. These ways are likely to be ever more diverse. But my hope, and indeed my commitment, is to tread spiritual paths that are for the greater good of all, not just for ourselves. I'll start with that. Amen.
Amen.
We all emerge from, dwell within, are transformed by, and called back to love. May our minds be humbled before this mystery, and may our hearts grow hopeful by it, and may we be sustained by this love, now and always. Amen. Go well and blessed be.